Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Podshambles 49. I am starting the recording slightly early because I'm setting up something that I've wanted to do for a really long time. That's something I'm very passionate about, but I've never had the situation in which to do it. But basically, I'm going to do it to Laurie, and he's going to love it. It's exactly the kind of thing that he loves. And and then we're going to record the whole thing. It's going to be great. Here he is.
All right, mate. Are you ready to go?
Yeah.
Brilliant, man. It's ready to record the podcast, yeah?
Oh, mate!
Podcast!
Yeah, the podcast!
I went everywhere!
What's that?
Fucking arsehole! These are new trousers! Man, have you just spat drink everywhere and you've got, like, what, more ready to go?
More ready to go? I sure do!
Oh, this is horrible.
That's right, I don't just have one glass of water,
no,
I got two!
You've got, like, a series of glasses. And what is that? Why are you spitting water everywhere?
Water? This is shit!
Shit, mate, this is already such a shambles. You're drunk, I'm covered in gin.
This is gonna be the best episode ever!
Oh, fuck. Didn't agree on that.
Oh my god.
Pod Shambles.
Nice.
That was a bit of fun, wasn't it?
Oh, I'm so soggy. Welcome to Pod Shambles 49.
Welcome.
It's our soggiest episode yet because Pads decided to spit. If you didn't get that subtle joke there, Pads just spat loads of water all up my leg. So thanks, mate.
That is a dream come true.
You've earned that moment.
Thank
arguably.
You. I'm really glad. Hello, mate.
And you're not going to get it for another 5 years now.
Yeah, no. I will engineer more and more situations in which to spit stuff over you.
Have you never done it in, like, real life?
No,
I've never.
No, I've always wanted to, but it seems like, you know when things are a trope, probably because of the cinema, and you start wondering to yourself, why does that never happen to me?
It's an easy visual shorthand for someone being outraged.
Yeah, exactly. It's always and I've never seen anyone do it. I've seen people laugh so much that they go like that because I'm so funny. I'm just so funny.
You live and breathe comedy.
Yeah, but actually, it's always really unpleasant when you laugh and choke on a drink.
Oh, yeah, it's horrendous.
But I think the incredulous thing of a mist of... I think it's so funny.
It is really funny.
Same thing. I've always wanted to do those tropes. I've always wanted to go on a date with two different people at the same restaurant.
You told me. You've definitely even told us this on the podcast
before.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's still...
It's so deeply ingrained.
It's still in the works.
What if the two people you were going on a date with at the same time, what if they were also the same person and neither of you knew, so that you'd both be like, I've just got to go to Lou. Oh, me too, actually. I'll go too. And you both get changed back into Mrs. Doubtfire and come back out on the date with, hello, it's nice to meet you. Oh, it's nice to meet you.
That's actually a very good idea.
Oh, no, I'll
that's
take
a
it.
Really good idea. Yeah, and then that, and then, yeah, and then maybe they fall in love.
Yeah, but with... But
with the other one.
So the one who's wearing the other one in costume.
So it becomes
one person meets the other one, dressed as a woman, and then they go away and the other one comes out as two men. The other man comes out dressed as a woman, and they both fall in love with the opposite woman. But of course, they only ever see each other. One of them is always in costume.
And then there can be a scene where the two women meet in the bathroom,
you on a date? Me too.
Yeah, exactly. And then the two guys are chatting in the bathroom. And they're like, I saw that girl you came frame him with, like, she's really nice. So that's
it. Yours too.
That'd be really fun. Realize
it's just them both in costume. That's great.
That would be. I'd actually be
copyright super... Pads and Laws 2017.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be super up for that. Have you got any other tropes, like life tropes that you've always wanted to fulfill?
Life tropes I've always wanted to do.
Probably cinema, like as we've said, like.
I quite like the idea of silencing a room of beer drinkers by saying, "Everyone, I have something to tell you," and then having a funny joke to go after it rather than,
"Oh yeah,
like, I'm going to die tonight."
Or yeah, exactly. Or coming into like a really busy bar and going,
yeah.
"Speech," and then everyone going quiet. And then, yeah, exactly. I've always wanted this one's sappy, but I've always wanted to show up in the rain.
Oh, that is nice.
I've always wanted to do that.
I've done that once.
Have you?
I got dumped.
Oh, nice.
It was great. It was really, really, like, you know, in keeping with the mood of the day.
Yeah.
Then I turned up and it was pissing it down. I came up to give my kind of final, "I'm sorry, please forgive me." And she just went, "No, go away."
Oh.
I shut the door.
Did you have a bunch of signs?
No, I did have a boombox.
Yeah.
But I was playing Raining Bloods by
Slayer. Yeah, exactly. Driving a tank.
Yeah.
Like, I've definitely shown up places in the rain. Like, I've done that before.
We live in England.
Exactly. We live in England. That's absolutely fine. But yeah, I've kind of always wanted to do that. Or, like, you know, when someone's like about to catch a flight or stop
someone at the gate.
Exactly.
Or run after someone on the train. Like, "When will you call me? What about Germany?"
Yeah, exactly.
"And darling, you won't remember me, you won't forget me, will you?
You told me we'd go to Peterborough." But yeah, like, but actually, all of mine appear to be from the movie Love Actually, which I rewatched. God, it's shit.
Horse tripe.
Oh,
wank
my God.
Fest.
Have you noticed about the movie quite how sexist the whole thing is?
Yeah, none of the women have any agency other than being fuck toys for the men, basically.
Exactly. They're basically all the girls are half the age of the men that become their partners.
Apart from Colin Frizzle in his giant knob.
Exactly. And then there's one couple that isn't, and they're the couple that don't get together.
Yeah.
Carl Drogo and Moonface. But that was a film that whenever I said something nasty about, I've never really liked Love Actually, but it's always the movie that when I'd be like, "Oh, that movie sucks," everyone is so quick to leap to its defence.
It's really weird. It's got a big cult fandom.
Yeah.
Even though it is just
they're
shit.
They're like, "Oh, but there's that bit where he dances across the corridor," and you're like,
"Shut up." It's loved particularly by, and I'm not trying to tell people what they should think, but I'm particularly loved by a lot of our female friends who are very kind of, you know, very, would definitely call themselves feminists and big and all that. Like, "Oh, but it's just a bit of fun. It's a bit of, you know, we can all enjoy how bad it is." And you're like, "But it's exactly, you know..." That's exactly it.
I rewatched it recently with my friend Rachel, and she was saying, like, "Oh, it's just something we should do at Christmas. Yeah. It's really beautiful." And I was like, I don't know. And we watched it, and about halfway through, she paused it and was like, "This is awful.
Yeah.
This is really nasty and quite like no one is saying
so many like affairs are like forgiven in that film as well."
Yeah.
And like, you're kind of meant to feel sympathy for Rick from The Walking Dead when he shows up and just tries to steal his best mate's newlywed wife.
Yeah, absolutely. And
by
Alan,
being a cockbag.
Yeah, and Alan Rickman, who gives an astonishing performance.
He's great, but,
like, but
what an
his
asshole.
Thing is that he's cheating on his wife with that lady whose only thing in the film is that she's always in lingerie, and all of her lines are like, "Well, I guess we could fuck." Like, you know, and she like looks, and she's at one point she's actually wearing those novelty devil horns.
Cuckold,
and like,
mate.
Jesus Christ, like, what, write a better fucking story. Like,
well, that's to you, Richard Curtis.
Well, that was Christmas. That was what I did over Christmas.
Oh, yeah, well, I've not really seen you since our big Christmas piss-up.
Yeah, man.
No, it was lovely.
Did you have a good Christmas?
I had a lovely Christmas. Very quiet and very, as I preempted in the podcast, very, very quiet.
Lovely.
Really nice. And I was at home for a long time. Obviously, I just seen you and was there for a week. And it's lovely. It takes on a new significance, Christmas, this age, is what we were saying back then as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's just lovely to sit back and enjoy it.
Absolutely.
And you had a stressful time with the floor and your
kitchen. Exactly. On Christmas morning, a mains water pipe burst in my parents' house, and there are about 15 of us in my close family.
Kind of
and
the gateway to hell.
Yeah, and so we had Christmas without water, which was
a novelty.
It brought us together as a family, like everyone carrying in buckets and all this kind of thing. It was actually like super
fun.
But mega
rig
stressful.
Up like an amazing shower in your back garden. I can imagine you and your dad live like, you know,
gathering
piping. All right, Pat, here comes the hot water.
Yeah.
Oh, it's cold, Dad!
Oh,
it's cold!
It's stopping!
Alright, here comes the hot!
In the kettle.
It's acid, Dad! This is hydrochloric acid!
It was actually super
Man.
Fun. And then we had New Year's, which we did spend together. We had a little party here. Yeah. at our flat,
our abode,
our address. By the way, is number. That, can you imagine if I just gave out the address and then I didn't let you edit it? I just released it.
Oh,
it would have to move.
Yeah, we definitely like. I love our fans. We've definitely got a couple who'd show up unannounced.
Yeah, hey.
I made you a mask made from my own pubic hair.
Hooray!
I want you to have it forever.
Yeah. So we had a New Year's Eve party here. That was actually really fun. I was about to say it was controlled.
It was quite controlled. No, that's because our parties in previous years have been mad and horrible.
Yeah, exactly. Normally it's fighting and breaking stuff and like all that.
It's just, you know, when there's always someone who turns up and everyone knows, and they're probably like, wrongin. Like, they're going to do something. Or there's the year that a girl fell over and had a screaming argument with a mate of ours. And then fell over outside and bust her face open and was bleeding everywhere. There's a year that the weird guy from upstairs showed up and was really creepy.
Yeah,
and touched all the girls.
There was the girl who wanted to shave.
Oh, shave her lady garden.
He came in.
The first thing she said, "I opened the door before you live with us, even."
Yeah, exactly.
The first party. And I opened the door and she went, "Oh, you're right there. I'm whatever." She's a friend of our friend Jono's. And she said, "Listen, mate, you don't have a razor, do you? I've got to shave my pubes." I was like, no.
It's 11 p.m. on New Year's Eve.
What you should do is go and talk to Chris. I'm sure he'd lend you his.
Yeah, that's exactly. But normally they all go wrong. But actually, this year we invited far fewer people.
Yeah.
And we just got wrecked. And then you and Zach were both done by about 1 a.m.
I properly passed out.
And I ended up in here at 5 a.m. with about the four remaining people still awake, two of which I think were perhaps on some kind of substance.
Oh, yes.
And they were just sort of dancing to no music. And then there was someone passed out on the sofa. And I was just sat there having a cigarette by the window like, am I in charge?
Happy
like,
New Year!
Am I meant to be doing this? But yeah, and then it was your birthday.
What's my birthday?
Of course, it was your lovely birthday. We went for lovely, lovely dinners with the folks.
Yeah.
And and now,
soon it's your birthday.
And then soon
this
it's
very
my
weekend.
Birthday, this very, very weekend. The celebrations for which begin tonight.
Yeah, well, you're such a greedy fucker. You're like, I need a 3-day weekend for my birthday.
That's what I do every year, and I get away with it every year.
I know.
Because I just. Because I'm so disorganized. And like I message people and I haven't made plans. Of course I haven't made plans.
No, but I mean your
normally,
plans never really
normally
extend
you
beyond
make the plans.
They never really extend beyond turn over this place.
Yeah.
Get shit-faced with me.
Yeah.
Go home.
Yeah, exactly. But this year, I haven't even done that. So I just sent a message around to everyone going, hi, so basically, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm going to be doing things if anyone's about. Which is lovely, because in equal measure, people have been like, cool, I'll be around on Friday and Sunday, or I'll just be around for Saturday afternoon and Sunday night, and I'll just be... And now I've got a really good spread across the weekend.
Spreading your bets,
that means
mate.
I get to see everyone. You
get to see everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're only
three times as many presents than jelly and ice cream, don't you?
Yeah, like, jelly and ice cream.
What
I'm
ever
on board.
Happened to jelly and ice
what
cream?
What about? I haven't had jelly in maybe a decade.
Yeah, you don't have it when you're like, it's a kid food.
Is it though?
Absolutely, 100%.
But are you saying that you wouldn't enjoy jelly now?
I would enjoy it, but it's not served to adults.
Well, yeah, but why didn't you buy some?
I never really felt that strongly about it. That's the thing, jelly is nice. It's never enough to be like, I've got to have some jelly right now. Like, if you go somewhere and jelly's on offer, when you're a kid particularly, you're like, oh, great, I'll have some jelly.
But where is
never,
it on offer?
I'm never sitting at home. Like, children's birthday parties.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly. Or, like, you know, my mum used to make it, if we had loads of mates around, she'd do an orange jelly with little mandarin out of a tin.
Oh, fuck, I remember those. Yeah, yeah.
But, like, yeah, it's never like, you never go to the shop and, like, sure, I really want this week. I really need some jelly.
I think we should start doing that a bit more, actually.
I think you'll be disappointed, mate.
But it's
like Angel Delight again. I went and bought some Angel Delight from the shop the other day.
That's wrong.
Like, I love Angel Delight. That was my childhood, like, big thing.
I never had it.
Pudding. Fucking rank. Never go near it. It's
I
disgusting.
Won't. I think I think maybe I had it as like a toddler, but was not a fan.
No, we had it when we were kids. I loved it.
But man, jelly, I am so on board with. I was a massive fan of jelly, and it's so easy to make, and it's so cheap, and it's so good for you.
It's not that.
Sorry,
good
that was, I was going to see if I could get away with that.
It's just sugar and pig's hooves.
Yeah, I can't remember what we were talking about, but I found something, by the way.
Oh, mate, what have you found?
Sorry, I'm segueing on pretty fast because I read this thing.
Segue on my wayward son.
I read this thing today that I was actually quite impressed by, and I want to see if you heard about this. Okay, this is a little article I found called Jackie, the South African baboon soldier.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so you know that you're
tuned in for
a hoot. It was a post on the Wildlife TV Facebook page. And basically, I'm not going to read you the whole thing because it's basically like a wiki page, right, for this whole like narrative about this thing that happened back in the First World War. But check this out, right? So it's August 1915, okay, and in the Mars family farm in Valeria, Pretoria, South Africa,
we find Jackie, who's the protagonist of our story. Okay. And Jackie is a Chacma baboon.
Wow.
Right? Okay, otherwise known as Papyrus.
Okay, well, so far, Pat, you've just telling me a story when there's a baboon in South Africa.
Right, anyway, so this dude called Albert, right, he finds this baboon in South Africa. Okay.
Is Albert of sound mind?
Albert is the coolest guy you'll ever meet.
According to Paddy Jervis.
I will tell you for why. He quickly becomes best mates with this baboon, right? It becomes like a beloved family pet. Okay. Right, and then...
Our baboon's really bad-tempered and horrible.
Yes, but not this one. And then, suddenly, war.
World War.
Okay, so it starts and everyone's getting enlisted, right? Okay.
As is the tradition in war.
So the people show up, right, and they start enlisting these South African men. And Andrew... Is his name Andrew? Albert.
You got a real good grip on this story,
Andrew Marr,
mate.
Albert, whatever. Albert Marr signs up to go into the army, because he has to, and he says, but can I bring Jackie?
I've got to bring my fucking baboon.
Obviously, the army are pretty shady about this, but they accept his request.
Why?
And I don't know, it says surprisingly
he got
permission.
I'm not just taking that for read. I need to know why.
So, they enlist... Mar and Jackie as like a duo, okay? Jackie gets enlisted. He gets given a special uniform. Look, here's a picture of him.
Yeah, I see.
Complete with buttons, a cap, regimental badges, and a pay book, and his own rations. This baboon is getting paid to fight a war.
I mean, don't get really...
As a chimp, okay? Right, so although the first...
Baboon, mate, not a chimp.
Yeah, sorry. Thank you for the correction. Yeah, that is correct.
If anyone should care about that, it's you.
Yeah, Papio Osinus, you know, yeah. I know all the names. Anyway, at first, the other members of the regiment just ignored him, but he soon became the official mascot of the 3rd Transvaal Regiment in South Africa. Okay?
What did he actually fucking do?
Well, Laurie, the next line says, and if you think he was just there to eat and fool around, then you're wrong.
Oh, that's the two things you'd want from the baboon,
exactly.
Really.
It's not a very well written article either.
Food in.
When he would see a superior officer passing by him, he would stand to attention and even provide them with the correct salute.
Oh, I've kind of got to take issue with that.
No, well.
Okay, number one, how many salutes are there?
Oh, there must be loads in the 3rd Transvaal Regiment.
I reckon there are like 3 salutes.
Yeah, is that...
And it's like one of them is like you grab your dick. The other one is you put both hands by your ears and go, woo, 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 woo. And then the other one is just a normal
throwing
salute.
Shit.
And one of them, luckily, is throwing poo.
One of them is howling.
Yeah, one of them is waving your big red ass.
Being incredibly sexually aggressive.
Yeah. okay, what else? Yeah.
So he provides the correct salute. I saw, by the way, a video of an orangutan using a saw.
That's irrelevant, really weirdly irrelevant.
No,
right
mate,
now.
They are getting on it.
Shush. Yeah, orangutans are really clever, you know.
So he would also light cigarettes for his comrades in arms, and he was the best sentry around due to his great sense of hearing and smell, which allowed him to be able to detect any enemy long before any of his other army mates could even notice their approach.
Okay.
That's right. True, right?
No, okay. That's... I can say it's true that he might have a good sense of smell and hearing.
Yeah.
Does not mean he'd make a good sentry.
What do we use as sentries?
Dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, but do you
because
think about
they
dogs,
have
right?
What?
Do you know what we do with dogs, though? Is we train them for years to give us tells when they smell something. You have to train a dog. They have a good sense of smell, but they can only smell stuff that you've taught them how to smell.
What, who's to
so,
say
like,
they didn't
drug
do
dogs can only... Because it's a fucking monkey.
That are more intelligent.
No. Bollocks.
Than dogs.
No, the dogs, right? Forget them to be a drug dog. You have to train a dog to smell drugs for like 5 years, and then he can smell those kind of drugs. That monkey can't just smell Germans, can he? He can't just
No.
And also, what happens if he smells German? What's he going to do? He's not going to go like, here, mate, over there, it's 3 Germans in the woods. He's just going to go, and they're going to be like, what is it?
That noise clearly means there are Germans.
Yeah, but they're also fighting World War One. There'll be Germans everywhere.
Well,
what I'm saying is,
but Jackie,
I can take he's got a good sense of smell.
Yeah,
does not mean he'd be a good sentry because he wouldn't be able to. He'd just be able to. Oh, there are people there.
Okay, the things we know about Jackie so far.
Yeah.
Jackie's best friends with Albert.
Yeah.
Right. So he obviously knows Albert's smell. He's comfortable around Albert. Okay?
Yes, one smell. Yeah.
So he then gets inducted into the regiment where he becomes comfortable with the rest of the troops.
Yeah.
Right. He's a monkey. He's got to become comfortable with them. He's not comfortable.
I'm not saying
he's not comfortable with the Axis of evil, is
he? I don't think he's got a very developed idea of what the Axis of evil is.
Maybe he hears,
maybe
he hears a different language and it alerts him. Anyway.
Moving on.
Yeah, so he's a sentry, okay. But
shit sentry.
He wasn't just taken well care of as a, I read that sentence wrong. He wasn't just a well taken care of pet. away from the actual battle, Jackie spent 3 years in the front line amongst the trenches of France and Flanders in Europe.
The way that sentence is written makes it sound like he's got a rifle and is shooting people.
He's a trench monkey.
No, yeah, that just means he was in a trench.
Picture this. You're in a trench.
Yeah.
God, it's horrid, yeah. Isn't it? You're in a war. That must be nasty.
And then there's a fucking baboon there as well.
Who is friendly?
Worse.
No, that would make things much better.
No, a little baboon.
The novelty.
And shaking baboon.
Yeah.
Scared by the mortar fire
in
and the shells.
Cap.
In a cap, probably shitting and pissing himself out of fear.
No, he's
would
a sentry.
Make it worse.
Yeah, he's reporting back. He's reporting back to you. But the story gets sad. The story gets sad.
No,
during the Senussi campaign, you remember it, on the 26th of February 1916 in Egypt, Albert got wounded on his shoulder by an enemy bullet. And Jackie stayed beside him until the stretcher bearers arrived, licking the wound and doing what he could to comfort his
best friend. What could he do to comfort his friend? Apart from licking the wound, which doesn't sound very comforting.
Sticking by. If you got shot, I'd stay with you.
And a baboon just sat on my chest.
Yeah.
And like picking lice out of my hair.
It would definitely keep you alert.
I mean, again, nothing that this article says has been untrue. I'm just query what that is.
We fast forward 2 years. Okay. It's April 1918. Both privates get injured in the Passchendaele area in Belgium during heavy fire. Okay,
oh, yeah.
As the explosion surrounded them, Jackie was seen trying to get some protection by building a little fortress of stones around himself. Unfortunately, he didn't manage to finish his little.
Of course
area,
not.
And he was hit by a chunk of shrapnel from a shell explosion nearby. And it also injured Albert. Jackie's right leg got seriously wounded, was later amputated by Dr. R.N. Woodsend. Both privates made a full recovery, and shortly before the armistice, Jackie got promoted to corporal and awarded the Medal of Valour. Here is a picture of Jackie with Albert Marr. Jackie, you'll notice, is giving the salute. Look at him! And he's missing a leg. He was officially discharged. In Cape Town, wearing on his arm a gold wound stripe and 3 blue service chevrons indicating 3 years of frontline service.
Mate.
He was given a parchment discharge paper, a military pension, and a civil employment form for discharged soldiers. Here is him shaking hands with a little girl. You will notice he has a lead, which I have
not noticed
before.
There you go. There's a lead. So do you think he had much choice about where he went?
And check this out. He then, after this crazy adventure, which is a war, let's bear in mind, he goes back to the Mars family farm, where he lives until 1921, and Albert lived until the age of 84, where he died. And here is that's
usually what happens at the end of
that is the story of this peculiar Chapman baboon that, due to his curious life, ended up as the only monkey to reach the rank of private of the South African infantry and fight in Egypt, Belgium, and France during World War I. I hope you liked this little known fact. Ate aproxima. I don't know what that means.
So military.
Oh, okay, cool. But isn't that, look at that. I mean, and look at the links that the stories, other mammal entries, Laurie, that we're not necessarily going to read, but do include, elephants avoid a full moon when being naughty.
Okay, this is clearly, okay, this is...
What
this
perfume gives, should you wear on an African safari?
This gives the article its proper context,
and
I feel.
Baby animals, how do they survive? Brackets, giraffe and Nile crocodile.
Okay.
Close bracket.
That just says it all, mate.
And then there's
just
more.
Says it all.
If you want to find out more about Chapman baboons.
The thing about that story, though, that's not an indication of him being a brave baboon. That's an indication of the South African army being fucking stupid.
But he survived, didn't he? And he was sentry.
Yeah, because he was like tied to his commander the whole time.
I don't know, but he couldn't be tied the whole time, especially if he was going
to
sentry.
How fucking cruel of that man to take a baboon all the way to World War One.
Okay, fair enough. Probably not cool, but they were best friends, and everyone was being enlisted.
Again, would question best friends because it's a baboon.
All right. Well, I thought that was at least mildly interesting.
Hey, it was definitely noteworthy, and it's definitely interesting. I've
got
a lot of problems with it.
Okay, cool.
But weirdly, leads us onto something that I discovered this week as
Have you got some news?
Well, this comes courtesy of one of our listeners whose name I need to remind myself of. Alison Rumfitt, right, who I think has been around for a long time as a PodShambles listener.
Okay, cool.
Hey, Alison. Good to have you along for the ride, man.
Captain Rumfitt.
Look, she sent us a story, right? It was also about battling animals.
Brilliant.
You're going to appreciate this, but this has got a little bit more scientific rigour behind it.
Oh, has it?
And you're going to fucking love it.
I think I had a lot of science.
Headlines. One poorly cited article, which admittedly is... This is on newscientist.com, Paddy.
Oh, wow.
They're real big shit, man.
They're pretty recent, aren't they?
The headline of the story is, Extinct Giant Goose,
oh,
already,
hello.
Already
I'm
Paddy's eyebrows are raised, used its wings to fight rather than fly.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, a giant goose that lived on a Mediterranean island. I like that it implies it's one goose.
Yeah.
Between 6 and 9 million years ago, had wings tailored for combat. How cool is that? Weighing 22 kilograms and standing perhaps 1.5 meters tall. They probably don't know.
Perhaps.
Garganornis balmani, it's Latin name,
his name,
might be
the
biggest member of the duck, goose and swan family ever to have lived.
Jesus Christ.
His fossilized bones have been found at Gargano in Scantrone in central Italy.
Right.
Its wing bones are short for its size, suggesting that it couldn't fly. An analysis led by Marco Pavia at the University of Turin shows that the carpometacarpus bone, equivalent to hand bones in humans, right, had a rounded lump called the carpal knob, a feature present in modern birds that fight each other over territory.
Oh, like a club.
Yeah, mate. It is covered, quote from Julian Hume at the Natural History Museum, it's covered over the hard skin, so it becomes a really effective weapon. In solitaires, which are like fights between birds, they certainly broke each other's bones.
Hang on, right? Don't graze over that.
Sorry, solitaires are other kinds of bird which definitely fought with their wings.
Is that what solitaire means?
Apparently, yeah.
Fighting birds?
Yeah, apparently.
Why is the card game?
I have no idea, mate.
What about spider solitaire?
Well, the spider bird.
Bird-eating spider. That's a thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not what spider solitaire
is. It's not what they... okay, all right.
Ducks and geese, hang on, where is it? Blah, 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 blah.
They should have called this article fight
or flight. So apparently there are ducks and geese in the islands of Hawaii that do the same thing, that are smaller. And if Garganornis has adapted to a similar lifestyle, it'd have to defend its territory to provide enough food for its young. Oh, man, there's quite another quote from Hume, right?
Okay.
You've got this big bird with its wings used for fighting. It would have been incredibly aggressive and would have been able to defend its young against most predators.
Okay.
Apparently, other birds, lizards, and mammals it could fight off with its fighting wings. I thought you'd enjoy that, man. And there's a really good picture of this enormous fighting goose.
How did they get a picture?
And this is a photograph.
And look at the little caption. Who are you calling a lousy flyer? Because he fights.
Yeah, man.
That's
how fucking cool
brilliant.
Is that? An actual. So I thought
a meter and a half high.
Yeah, meter and a half high goose. Do you remember weeks ago, or podcasts ago?
Yeah.
When we pitched an idea for a new kids story called Battle Goose.
Oh yeah. Weeks
turns
ago,
out, mate.
Two or three.
There
years
was
ago.
One all along.
Jesus Christ.
There was a battle goose.
We've got to remember him. He.
Yeah.
That was quite a scary picture as well.
I know,
imagine.
But I also feel like if you befriended that goose. It would be really, imagine like if you had a problem with bullies.
You could take him to war.
And you could just say, "Hey, Mag Garganonis, Garganornis, whatever your name
what
is.
What would you call him?
I'd call him Gargle. Gargamel.
Gargamel.
Oh, great. Gargamel
the
giant goose.
You can just call the Smurfs.
Ah.
What's Gargamel's cat called?
Rosa?
Gargamel.
Rosita or something?
Oscar. I want to say Oscar.
No, it was a girl, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, shit.
Anyway, mate, Gargamel would strut in.
Oh,
and then he'd hit
him in.
Hit all your bullies with his hard little wing nubs.
Why did you have such a problem with the warfare monkey?
Because,
you're so on
because
board
right,
the war
warfare
goose.
Monkey is dragged in by humans. This guy fights for his own cause. He flies his own flag. All right, he's a goose without a cause.
Yeah, he is protecting his
and
young.
And he doesn't care. And also, you know, new scientist, mate. That's all I'm saying.
That is very true. What do young geese eat? Bread?
Yeah. They eat little creatures and pond stuff in the water.
Little creatures?
Yeah.
Little guys.
Anyway, thanks, Alison. I'm really glad we had that
show.
I'm
looking into that because, if, you know, it's especially with, you know, the...
Are we going to create a Jurassic Park?
That's the thing. With the onset of,
like trench warfare monkeys, giant geese...
And I've got a little suggestion.
Oh, do you? Do you have another entry?
I might have another entry that I found the other day.
Oh my god.
Now, this article is National Geographic.
Yeah.
Okay? So it's from a valid
true
source.
Blue, mate.
It's an interview with someone who's got a certain idea.
Oh!
And I might want to see. I hope you don't know about
I'm
this.
I'm afraid
this
I've
is,
read this
oh,
story.
Fuck! Okay.
No, but I don't know the details. I don't know the details.
Okay, well, the article's called Honk If You Think Geese Are Good Guard Dogs. Some cops in China now use feathered friends instead of canine
companions. I
don't know
the specifics.
Then there is a picture of some terrifying geese who are like sticking their necks through a wire fence.
And you see all their little geese teeth.
I'm going to. Right, okay, so. Cheese it! It's the geese! That's how it...
Cheese it, boys! The geese are here!
Police in rural parts of China's Xinjiang province are no longer turning to dogs to stand guard at police stations at night. You see, topical from what we've been talking about, they're using geese instead.
Do they have hardened
new paragraph
in their wings?
And it works! According to a recent report, a guy tried to break into a police station...
Hang on! I'm sorry! According to recent police reports... A guy.
Some guy. According to official documentation, some prick apparently went somewhere. He tried to break into a police station to take back a motorbike confiscated by the cops. The guard geese sounded the alarm, awakening the sleeping officers, exactly like the baboon.
That's
right?
The story I read before. I was sent it in the office I used to work in, who all knew you quite well as because they knew that we liked geese. See.
And then it goes on to say, but really? Guard geese? Like, really? Guy?
That's where I am.
To gain insights into goose behaviour, we spoke with Patrick Cummins, director of bird conservation at Audubon, Connecticut, who has seen barnyard geese in action at a bird park.
So hang on, his credentials are that he has seen geese.
He's seen a goose in a park. In action,
okay, bear in mind.
So, this is an interview with him. Okay, so, would geese make good guards? Laurie, what do you reckon?
I mean, they could raise the alarm pretty well.
Yeah, well, that's what we've heard. Apparently, they have amazing hearing, which we know, they're geese. And almost all birds have amazing eyesight. Another broad statement there. Almost all birds. That's it. By the way, this is the thing. We've done a goose article before, and a broad theme is like, sometimes
geese are great.
Yeah, sometimes
they're cunts. It's fine.
Not only do they see better at a distance than humans do, fair enough, they can also see things up close.
Well, full stop.
But there's then an edit that says better than we do.
Yeah, that's National Geographic.
That's National Geographic.
Paddy humans.
Well, our eyes have three different colour sensors, of course,
cones,
that
mate.
Combine to build a picture cones. In our brain. Birds add a fourth, ultraviolet.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They have a much wider range of wavelengths that they can view. Things are going to look sharper and they can pick out smaller things, as well as movement. So birds can see in UV.
I'm sure birds can. I don't know about your common garden goose, mate.
another question from the interviewer. And I guess they're not shy when an intruder is sighted.
Absolutely not.
This guy's definitely got
geese are anything but shy.
Yeah, in terms of alerting people to activity, they're very vigilant and they're territorial. And certain species can be quite loud, especially barnyard varieties.
This is clearly a journalist who's been given this story and knows it's interesting. He's gone like, I don't know who the fuck I'm meant to talk to, man.
I'm just going to talk to
some ornithologist. Yeah. And he keeps asking, so like, guard geese in China, yeah? And he's like, well, I've never seen a guard goose in China, but I've seen geese down the road.
Yeah, exactly.
Certainly are quite loud and rambunctious.
He goes on, besides guarding a police station, are there any other things geese might guard?
Wow.
That's basically...
No. There's only police stations.
They have a very specific attachment to police stations. And he says, I understand people in this country are using geese to guard their free-range chicken flocks.
That's also what I've heard of as well.
Geese guarding other birds.
Yeah, you put one... There's another bird you can use as well, and you put them in your chicken coop with your chickens. So when a fox shows up...
The goose scares
them
off.
When a chicken is scared... No, not even that scares it off, just that it alerts you.
But then who guards the geese?
A chicken would just
who
go...
Who watches the watchman?
Who watches the goose? Well, no one. But that's the thing, is when the fox gets in, and then usually your chickens just die, die. That's a turkey, but whatever.
That is, whatever.
Whereas a goose would not, but it's not that loud, is it? It's more... But whereas a goose would be,
that is true.
Immediately.
So he goes on. So they're just really good watchdogs. Terrible term to use here.
a watchdog
is sort of specific to dogs. Okay, and that's the beauty of it. It's instinct for them. They're territorial, he's repeating himself. They could fly off anywhere they want to, but they hang out at home. That's just the way a lot of geese act.
Oh, God. This guy's not an expert.
Certain of them can be rather vigilant in defending their territory.
Again, some geese can be vigilant.
Would the same be true of swans? This guy is really...
This guy is, like, as he's writing this, just
what
like...
do you think, Laurie? Could the same be said of swans?
Oh, no. No, because they're really quiet.
Well, he agrees. I haven't heard of anybody using guard swans, but they can be even more aggressive than geese when it comes to defending their territory.
Yeah, but it's not about killing intruders. It's just about being a sentry.
He really goes off piste here. There are stories of them knocking people out of kayaks.
That's it. I mean, God, whoa. Watch out for these power mad geese knocking people out of kayaks.
Oh no, these are the swans. He's not even talking about geese anymore. Is there any danger a guard goose would turn on a cop?
This goose has gone savage, Briggs.
He's gone wild.
Get him out of here.
He's gone wild.
He's a rogue cannon. He's like, at the end of my patience.
He says, I don't think so, because they seem to recognise you as part of their flock.
Bollocks.
If a new... if a a new person came along, the uniform might help the geese to acclimatise to that person.
No.
People might look the same to a goose if they're wearing uniforms.
Oh, what about, is one of the questions, if what if you said boo to them?
What if you said boo to a goose? Could a criminal distract a guard goose?
Yes, absolutely.
That question is there any way you could distract a bird?
And the answer is yes. Yeah, like, many ways. And he's flashing lights, shiny paper,
loud noises. Yeah. He begins with
another
dogs.
Goose.
Dogs, you can give some steak, and they might be a little distracted. It's pretty hard to give geese something that's going to distract them enough where they wouldn't make noise.
Bollocks.
They would. No, I think anything you do to a goose, it will respond with a honk.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a gun.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, if you kill, but then that, but yeah, exactly. Yeah. You could, if you shot a goose, that would be a loud noise.
What if you had a silencer?
Apparently, they're not actually quiet at all.
A pillow.
I read that the other day. Apparently, silencers are still super loud.
Yeah, they're just like more silent.
They're just more silent. Yeah, but they shouldn't really call that. That's why they should be called suppressors. bit of army information.
I'm sorry. I learned from GoldenEye 007 they're called a silencer.
In fact, geese might make more noise if you throw something yummy at them.
Yummy.
And once they get going, they're quite hard to quiet down. What would you feed them anyway?
Bread.
That is what we just asked. Apparently, they're fairly easy to take care of, and it's relatively inexpensive. I mean, there are specific feed mixes for geese, but they're happy eating cracked corn and grazing on grass.
What an informative podcast we've become.
Do geese have other police-like traits?
Yes, they've got little blue lights on their heads.
Yep.
And they, I was about to say, they hate black people.
Wow! And they're institutionally racist.
Everyone knows that geese are very skewed and they will shoot before asking questions.
Yeah, that's
particularly when
particularly in Baltimore,
USA.
Places. Oh my god.
Wow.
Can you imagine if then I went on to read the article and he was like, "Yes, they're not a fan of other things that aren't white." Cuz geese are used to being white.
Yeah.
The barnyard geese that live in our park are used to lots of people.
Oh, and, why is he comparing them to your barnyard fucking geese?
They're not afraid of cars, and they can be brazen.
They can be brazen.
A major road goes right by the park where the geese live, and every once in a while, all the traffic stops as the geese walk across the road. I don't think this guy is a professor.
No, he's not an expert. He's not. He's just a member of the Bird Conservancy.
And so he wraps up the interview very nicely. So a goose might also apply for a job as a crossing guard.
Oh, like a lollipop lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he responds, "Yeah, you see one of the more dominant geese stop and stare down the cars while the others are crossing."
Wow.
And that's it.
Wow.
It's not, there's no
Well, that is, I mean,
conclusion.
You started out by saying this is a rigorous, you know, journalistic integral.
I thought it was going to be, man.
That was beautiful.
That was good, though. But
thanks
I think, God, look, I mean, we managed to spend half an hour talking about battling animals.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty
much. Marks a change for us.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I said this year, Paz? 2015 is a new year, new pod shambles.
Yeah, fighting
boy,
geese.
Are we smashing people's preconceptions?
New year, new you.
And a new load of geese stories.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed those. I just, a couple caught my eye. And I'm glad you found yours as well, because that's actually quite menacing.
They were wonderful.
But that's the thing, like, do you reckon they could ever come back?
What, big geese?
Yeah.
I'm going to make them come back, mate. I'm going to start. I'm going to start buying an enormous island.
Yeah.
It's going to be called Goose Park.
Okay.
I'm going to get the amber, which has the mosquitoes, which have sucked the blood of giant goose.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Make them
bigger
with blades in their wings, and I'm going to invite people along. I'm not going to tell them. I'm just going to say, "Oh, come to Goose Island. There are loads of goose." And then and then they just kill everyone brutally whoever comes to visit.
You know evolution, right?
Yeah.
That thing.
Yeah.
The theory
that thing
of.
That happens.
You know how things are still evolving? Are things still evolving?
Oh, yeah. Well, things don't evolve. Like, it's just that things mutate and they happen, and evolution is a byproduct of stuff being diverse and mutating and the world being wonderful. So, yeah.
Yeah. Do you reckon geese are getting bigger?
No idea, mate.
But do you reckon, like, if evolution took its course, which it will, as it is wont, then do you reckon in, like, a million years, geese will be bigger or smaller?
Don't know.
Or maybe more
the
wings.
Environmental pressures
more
on
beaks.
Geese. No, that's not how it works,
darling.
That's
the thing, then they can eat twice
That's not
much.
How it works, darling. We'd have to have a goose born with two beaks first, and then that'd have to be a recurrent mutation among geese. And then they'd have to do so much better than regular geese that all the other geese would have to die That's how evolution works.
A goose with either four wings or two mouths would do better than other geese.
Yeah, but they don't. Not many of them out there, mate.
Well, yeah. But what if that becomes? Yeah, but then by in time, no. Given an infinite amount of time,
given an infinite amount of time, which geese don't have, mate.
Well, they'll die.
No, it's not going to happen. Stop it! No multi-beaked geese for you.
They won't just die out.
No, but I'm not gonna get up on my high horse. I can't do it, mate.
All right, fine.
I can't do it. It's not gonna happen.
I think your goose park is gonna go wrong, and right, I think that's gonna be why.
That is gonna be fun. Where did you get all those geese?
I'll tell ya, I'm the goose wizard. I can summon geese. I ate a load of drugs, and it made me magic. I'm the goose wizard, but the geese won't die.
No more drugs for you, you wicked, drunk, bird junkie.
Geese.
Well, mate, traditionally, barrel scraping time, we're going to do some more Would You Rathers.
Stop.
It kind of is, isn't it?
Stop barrel scraping.
Yeah, we have to come up with these.
I love barrels.
Man, you. Okay,
God, I love barrels.
Give me a barrel. Let me just scrape out the insides of it, all good.
Call me Cooper and give me a barrel.
They make the barrels.
Stormy.
If you're a Cooper, you'd make them in the first place, mate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but then maybe you could
I'll give you the raw ingredients with which to make a barrel.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Why don't we start? Why don't we do that?
A load of planks, some metal, and
Would you rather be a Cooper or be a barrel?
Be a barrel. Oh, barrel.
Probably be a barrel, yeah. What would you store?
Oh, tar.
Oh, nice. I'd pickle something.
Oh, you would be. I'd be
a pickler.
Yeah, but then what would happen is your pickling would go wrong. Someone would leave you in a basement for like 30 years to pickle properly, and you'd leak a tiny bit, and there'd be like pickled spiders in the top of you.
Oh, yeah, but then it would be like the best pickle ever if you leave it to mature like forever.
Yeah, with spiders in it.
Well, yeah, but you can get off the top.
Spiders?
Get rid of the topsoil and the pickle.
No, topsoil.
Top
right, would you, Mr. Smarty Pants?
Mr. Smarty Pants.
Would you rather, this is quite an easy one, right? Would you rather be able to taste everything you touch?
Okay.
Yeah. Or smell everything you see? Right, okay. So, taste everything you touch. Gloves can't block it, by the way.
Okay.
Every single thing you touch, you pick up, you touch.
Yeah.
You taste strongly in your mouth. So old it goes from everything to like, you know, when you pick up your phone, you kind of taste the plasticky.
Can
like,
it hurt you?
Like
if I picked up some bleach.
No, it would be unpleasant. It would still taste like bleach.
If I then kiss someone, like can they taste bleach?
No.
It's just me.
But if you touch, like, if you're doing sexy times with someone, maybe you touch their butt by mistake. Like, when you suddenly get an overwhelming taste of butt in your mouth. Or, right, you'll turn it to, or smell everything you see.
Okay.
So that and that, right,
but don't we normally do that?
No, not at all.
Well, like,
how often do you see something like, I could look at a nappy on the side of the road over there and not be able to smell it.
Oh, I see. But I was thinking in the
immediate vicinity. So if you see something in the corner of your eye, you smell it really strongly. If you see someone vomiting, suddenly you're like, oh, and you smell it really strongly.
What if I lived in a patisserie?
Well, then you'd probably smell all the pastry anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're not gaining anything.
So I'd be fine.
You wouldn't. You'd just have to go outside.
Well, would I? If I lived in a patisserie, mate, you don't know what kind of things I'd get up to.
Aaron, I'm trying to think. And if you saw someone and you were like, oh, there's my friend, and then you would suddenly get a massive whiff of their BO, maybe, or...
But then surely I'd already be aware.
When you're watching
that,
a football
maybe.
Match, you'd smell all the sweat and the tears and the cum of the players.
Cum?
If you watch porn, you'd smell the porn.
Okay.
If you watch like a war film, you'd be able to smell...
War?
War.
Oh, so it's even like pictures of things. I can smell what the pictures are.
Yeah.
So I could, in theory, wear a pair of glasses that I glue onto the insides... Pictures of like my favourite things.
Yeah, but then you wouldn't be able to see anything.
But then I could sleep.
Yeah, but okay. Alright, so what you've turned Would You Rather into taste everything you touch or be blind.
Oh, taste everything I touch would be quite interesting though, because then also I could go, I could be like, oh, what am I going to have for dinner tonight? And I could go around the shops and be like, oh,
Yeah, but like, oh, raw nice meat, carrot. If you're picking up like a raw thing of meat, like, that chicken would for a second.
Maybe I'd only touch. Maybe I'd get you.
You're right. There are advantages. Stuff. You can figure stuff out. Right?
And also with the smell, like, oh, I could be useful. Like I could be. They could be like, oh my god, I wonder if that big fire is an electrical fire or a gas fire. And we need to know because the police department, the fire department are on their way.
And they've only got two fire extinguishers, they've got to choose which one to bring.
Yeah, and one of them always lies. The other one always tells the truth. And I could be like, oh, it's definitely gas. Or I could tell you when the gas is on in your flat. That would be my job. I could just look through people's windows at their cookers and be like, oh dear, that house filling with gas.
You say a job. Hmm. Who's paying you to do that?
Police department.
Why?
Fire department.
Why?
Because they... Oh, I'd be like a guard dog. I'd be a guard dog.
Yeah, you could be a guard dog.
I could be a sentry.
Yeah, listen, though. Late at night, though, or in a World War One battlefield, can't really see much, can you?
Yeah,
you have to see it. You have to see the things. You have no control over what you can smell. So let's say you were looking at a thicket of trees. You thought, you know, let's say some German soldiers were in.
Yeah.
From, say, World War One.
Yeah.
You would smell the trees. You may be able to pick up a hint of them, but you would smell like everything you look at in that little tree.
But would I see the
leaves? If your eyes are like distracted by like a sparrow, you'd only smell the sparrow for ages.
Oh, that could be quite fun. What is it? Just my hands?
Oh,
let's
say yes. Yeah, just to stop you from sensory overload.
Can I chase my clothes or sofa or like anything like that? It's stuff that I pick up.
But you can't get around it by just picking stuff up with your elbows for the rest of your life.
I think probably taste. I think the taste one.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going back on myself.
I reckon the tasting part's going to be more disgusting than the smelling part. If you think worst case scenario, yeah, that's both true. Those things.
But I was thinking like being able to smell things that I see could fuck up any situation.
That's
like
true. Every time you go to the loo, mate, you're going to taste your own dick.
Oh no!
Yeah,
that's a shame.
Yeah,
that is a shame.
Yeah.
You're gonna
taste your own.
We
dick.
Appear to be at an impasse, Laurie.
Be a rubbish sentry.
What? Shit. Rubbish sentry. Going rubbish sentry. I think the taste would drive me mental.
And you could spell, right? Okay, here's
but
the
clever
bit.
But then can't I taste it?
Here's the really clever bit. No, well, I'm imagining the two senses are different.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
Here's the clever bit, though. If you're a sentry, you could spell it S-C-E-N-T-R-Y, because you'd be a scent tree. Because you'd be sniffing out things.
And if I was
scents.
in your example of me looking at the German soldiers in the trees, S-C-E-N-T-R-E-E. Because I'm getting the scent of a tree.
Yeah, okay. It's not really that.
And every hundred...
What's your would you rather?
Every 100 years...
What?
What am I going to say? A scent...
Hopefully nothing.
Century.
It doesn't really work, mate.
No, it doesn't. And it's not linked.
No.
I'm going with century. Okay. Oh, my would you rather for you. Okay. If you found out, and only you... Maybe it's part of a conspiracy.
You and only you.
If you found out that 25% of all humans were actually snake people, okay, in disguise, would you rather check and see and find out if your significant other is a snake person or not take the chance?
You're to 1 in 4.
1 in 4.
What does the snake people want to do? Why are they here? Are they aliens? Are they evil?
Let's say you are
secretly controlling the world,
discovering the snake people. Like I think
I'm like a snake. Yeah. So basically, I'm like Hans Lander in the Quentin Tarantino film, and I'm sniffing out snakes.
You are sniffing out snakes
or Jews.
And exactly. Or Jews, depending on where.
And like, I'm going around in my little military uniform. Like, I have reason to believe that there is a snake in your midst.
Oh,
a snake,
man,
in the grass. It is your mother, Elsinore. Not me, no.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh no!
And I touch it with the special stick and
oh man, okay. That's what, yeah. So okay. Like, I think you've maybe uncovered this conspiracy.
Investigate my own sig other.
Yeah, it's like crab people. Like, maybe to your knowledge so far, the snake people haven't done anything wrong. Like, that's why we
like
don't know.
It's a District
9
situation.
Exactly. Okay. No, yeah, but they all look like humans. No one else knows there are snake people yet. But you've found out about snake people. But the snake people, they're either friendly or the fact that a quarter of people are snake people. Maybe you found it from like you found a snake person, you found like a document,
right,
or something.
Okay,
and now a quarter of population is snake people, but you don't know their plan, but they sort of must have a plan, surely. I mean, why else would they be
masquerading as humans? And my other half particularly. That's,
yeah, exactly,
disgusting.
And let's say that you're totally in love with your other half.
Yeah,
like,
I'd have to, the answer is I'd have to. I'm sorry to cut you off.
You'd have to find out.
I'd have to find out. Yeah, I could, if I knew there was a possibility they were, I'd find out if you were a snake person.
Yeah.
I'd find out if everyone was. Yeah, because if you know that, if you have that knowledge, you've got to, I think you, it would drive you nuts.
Worrying about it. Okay, all right. Actually, I think I'm with you on that. But, okay, say you want to check if you're significant.
This is not a traditional would-you-rather pattern.
Is a snake person, okay. But there is nothing wrong with snake people. Like, you're protesting an awful lot, Pat.
Are you trying to tell me that you're a snake person?
No, that would be silly.
That would explain a lot. It's silly. Oh, you silly boy.
There are enough snakes to shake a rattle at. Is that a phrase? That's not
no.
a phrase.
Anyway.
I thought that was a phrase. No, but they're so well disguised that no one else would ever find out they're a snake person. Mm-hmm. They still have all the component parts of a person. Their disguise is that good. Maybe their one difference is maybe like they're inside their spine or something. They are a snake controlling this person's body.
Okay.
Right? And you still are very much in love. They are actually in love with you. It's not like this snake person is pretending.
Yeah, I know, but I'd still need to know if they're a snake person.
And then what would you do?
Just know that, then I'd know. I mean, I can't make. I mean, I don't fucking know, Paddy.
Like, would you?
I imagine
would you
I'd be better.
Break it off?
I'd be better equipped to make that decision if I knew whether she was or wasn't a snake person.
But would
then
you,
I think I would just follow my gut on that one.
But
I think.
Would you? Yeah. But then, like, say okay, and say she came clean. Say she was like, okay, I'm a snake person.
No idea, mate.
Would you
probably would be
to...
quite upset because they'd lied to me for so long.
But what if they said like, they had to for the good of the snake people?
They're still a snake person. You can never trust a snake.
Famously.
No, but like,
would you still sleep with them?
But what if someone? What if like? What if your other half or friend of years and years told you that they were secretly anything their whole life?
What, a snake person?
Well, anything that you didn't think that they were.
A pig person.
I don't know.
Yeah, there'd be that element of betrayal, but what if they had to?
What if they had to? Yeah, but I'd still be like, you're fundamentally not a human being, though. You're a snake person.
But they're so close to it, they've
Oh, Paddy, I don't
so
know!
Hard.
This is so weird! I don't know, mate!
What about, would it change things if I were a snake person?
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you stay friends with me if you found out I was...
If you're a snake person, I would take you around the country as a travelling snake person show. And we'd make millions.
That is
and
true.
And you'd be on board with it.
I like how it'd be different if I was a snake person. I'd be friends with you if you were a snake person.
Yeah, I don't think...
And I'd keep your secret.
It's because they're your other half. I think that's so much deeper and weirder.
Well,
and
currently we are each other's other half.
Yeah, I mean, without the banging.
A lot of banging. Yeah, hey.
But I could forgive you. I couldn't forget some floozy.
You couldn't forgive your wife.
No.
No, of course not. All right, well, I'm glad to know. Good to know. I'm just going to note that.
Just going to go and... note
that down.
Going to go and sit underneath this UV light.
Yeah,
for
exactly.
A little bit and,
I'm just going to, you know, just going to go and get back into my basket. And if you need me, just play the flute.
Oh, wow. That is all.
That was a
good snake reference.
That was a really good snake joke. Oh, thanks, Matt. That was good. I've enjoyed returning to Would You Rathers for a brief
We'll
you look so terrified by everything I've asked.
Do you think you're a snake person?
I am a snake person. I love you, but I'm a snake. I didn't stop the recording.
1, 2, 3. Huh. Rapidash, Rapidash, name that Pokemon Rapidash. Oh, Rapidash, Rapidash, name that Pokemon Snake backwards.
It's Ekans.
Where's that smile?
Oh, what is this?
That little smile.
We're doing a podcast. I'm very tired. Stressful day.
Wait,
yeah.
Turn that front. Does this tickle your fancy?
Hey, are you going to tickle me live on air?
Hey, I'm not going to. I promise I'm not going to.
You're such an arsehole.
Let me massage you.
Do you remember when we did this once? Yeah. We did this once to a friend of ours at school.
Yeah.
And we uncovered a home truth that we really shouldn't have uncovered. That's what tickling does to people.
When was that?
Do you remember that? It was our friend. Oh, we'll remain nameless in case this is a...
Name it.
Bernie.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That was good.
That was like 15 years ago.
Yeah, we used to sit in Paddy and a couple of other our friends were in the same house at school. Yes, that's right. We went to Hogwarts.
Yes, we did.
And we all sat in your house room. We were about 15, 14.
Yeah.
In Alder's house room.
Yeah.
And there were a bunch of us, Bernie, there was Robin, there was Seb,
and Robbie.
Yeah. And we sit around listening to Rammstein, pretending we had motorbikes.
Because we were rad.
We were really rad.
Oh yeah, we used to
and
go
then
on loose.
Yeah. Like, dun, 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 dun. Yeah. And there was just this time where we tickled Bernie. It was, a thing, we're tickling people.
Oh, yeah.
And he was very ticklish. And he was, contorting. Oh, no, get off me. And then he out of nowhere went, no, daddy, no. And everyone stopped tickling him immediately. Went, oh, wow.
Oh, shit.
Does your dad tickle you every day?
He was like,
day?
No.
And
no,
then we made up this whole story about that. Yeah, he was like, no, he just came out of me.
No, it just came out. I was just making a joke.
We made up a whole narrative about how Bernie's dad used to go and tickle him naked every morning.
Yes.
Time for school, Adam.
Yeah, exactly. And Bernie was so argumentative that made it so much funnier.
So much better.
But he just, I can't remember. I don't remember that happen. I know it happened. I remember being there. Yeah, I was definitely, because we've definitely talked about this at some point, or it's the sort of thing where whenever I see Bernie, someone makes that gag where they go, "Daddy," or something like that, and he's like, "Shut
daddy,
up." So it definitely was a thing.
But it's one of those weird things. There we go. Weird things.
Hello.
But
did we make it up?
Well, that's the thing. I don't think we did make it up because we both remember it very clearly.
Yeah, no.
But don't you? I mean, we got a lot of those, me and you, haven't we?
What?
And those kind of memories that you,
yeah.
Oh, what? Every fucking podcast, mate. That is something I have a very clear memory of always. You're so proud of yourself every time. You're
you
a
on
toddler.
The phone yesterday.
You're a fucking toddler. You're just proud when he does a big burp.
Sorry,
I just completely derailed it with your flatulence. It's you cement memories that you may not necessarily have just because you tell the story so often or you revisit it so often. And you're quite a one for telling. You tell very good elaborate stories.
I love a good story.
And I don't think this would be offensive if I say sometimes you sprinkle in a little extra detail that A may not have been there originally, or it sounds like I'm psychoanalyzing you a bit. But, you add details to stories that you're actually, when you think about it, you're like, I don't know if I remember that, but it seems like what would have happened.
Yeah.
And then the next time you tell it, you're like, well, of course there was a man called Jeff there. And then the next time, it's like, of course he had 4 geese in his pocket.
Yeah, exactly. You remember the pocket watch chain that I mentioned last time.
Yeah,
or like the earring that was a different colour something like that.
And you're quite a vivid storyteller. And I'm not trying to say that you're making it up, but I think there must be an aspect sometimes when it's a bit of creation and a bit of memory going hand in hand.
I think so, but I don't know whether I actively do that, or whether I try.
No,
to.
I don't think anyone does.
But that's the thing. There are points where I can't remember who said it, but it's like, don't never let the truth get in the way of a good story whatever it is. There are times where I will be like, and he did this, because I know it'll make it 3 times as funny.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I guess that's different on stage. Like, I'm trying to get a laugh out of it. Whereas if I'm actually trying to recall something, I wonder if thereby I start throwing in those details that weren't necessarily true, because I, like you said, with revisiting things, I almost remember having said that before as opposed to having seen it before.
Well, you were telling me a story the other day about our friend Dave. And you were talking to him about a girl you'd apparently met.
Oh, shit!
Yeah.
No, this is
amazing.
This is a perfect example.
Yeah,
because this story has now come to a conclusion. Oh, yeah. So I went to meet up with my friend Dave the other day, who's been on our radio show before. He was my best mate from university, and he's a wild card. Let's put it
that brilliant.
Way.
He's very good at putting you in uncomfortable situations for your betterment.
Exactly. He's also a fantastic storyteller. Anyway,
and blues guitarist.
And blues guitarist and harmonica. But he's just a great dude all around. But he was saying to me, he said, we were sat having a drink, and he goes, I met one of your recent previous conquests. And I was like, oh, shit, who? And he was like, Claire. And I was like,
what?
Of the accessories.
Yeah, and I was like, who's Claire?
It's my Claire's accessories joke. And come on.
I love it. I love it. Don't get me wrong. I am, oh, darling, I'm there.
So on it.
I got a piercing done in Claire's. Long time ago, I think. I don't know. Maybe I didn't.
So you were saying, yeah, Claire. Like...
And he was like, Claire. And I was like, no. And he was like, yeah. He was like, you met her at the old Red Lion Theatre in Angel. And I was like, that sounds like me. And he was like, and you went for a couple of cigarettes together. And I was like, yeah, sounds right. And he's like, and then apparently you asked for her phone number. You went on a date the next day. And then it never went anywhere and you never called her again. And I was like, whoa, I did not do that.
You're not a no-caller.
No, and also that immediately sat, and he was like, no, but it was you, and like, I know this. And I was like, but you know me, I don't do that. And he's like, well, do you though? Like,
this could be.
And then suddenly it made me, and I was asking for her, and I was like, what did she look like? And he was like, she's about 5'2", she was blonde, she had a northern accent, he had really vivid details of this girl. And I was looking through my phone for text messages over the past 3 years. I looked through my Facebook messages, like,
who is she? Yeah. Who is Claire? And then writing it on the walls, exactly, in your own blood.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's like, yeah, it's like curling in a ball.
I come home and you're like, Claire. I know who Claire is now. She's inside my head.
And I went through everything. I was like, different spellings of Claire. Could Claire be short for Rebecca Claire? Could
Or a Claire.
Or like, could you have got her name slightly wrong? Could it be like Clarice? Or could it be like Clary? Or, you know, Larry?
Clary?
Yeah, Clary. You know, the girl version of Larry. And, yeah, that's a thing, right? And Dave, and all the time, and as I was doing this, he was like, I can't believe you don't remember her. And then he started being like, you're a fucking misogynist, aren't you? He loves riling me, but it really got to me. I was like, no, I and he was like, no, you're a womanizer.
All women are just a whore.
Yeah, he's like, I guess they're just a person you don't give a shit about, and I guess you just took this girl out and never... And I was like, I've never done that. And he was adamant, and I was like, okay, right, okay, tell me the whole thing. And he was like, well, it's through a mutual friend of ours. And I was talking to him at a gig, and she was there, and she mentioned, oh yeah, Paddy, like, I know him, he did this, you know... And I just had no idea. And I then called him every day for a week, being like, you have to find this out for me. You have to. So Dave was like doing research in his own time, speaking to old friends and stuff like that.
This is also madness on both
it's
your parts.
It's absolutely crazy, but like, it was infuriating to me because I was like, am I a sexist? Do I not remember this? And I'm actually a fucking awful
human
being.
Maybe you are terrible.
And they started to really worry me. Anyway, Dave kept sending me, no, sorry, at the time she was a brunette. By the way, her hair wasn't short at that point. And like giving me all these extra details and I'm going through, maybe her name was Danielle. Maybe her name was, and he kept changing it. Maybe you didn't meet at the Old Red. Maybe you met at the Barnsbury. Maybe you, and it kept changing until one day he called me and was like, oh mate, turns out she met a guy called Danny. And I was like, what? And I'm like, fuck you. And he was like, yeah,
I really hope you
her name isn't
up.
Claire, her name's Emily, and she's never met you. And also the mutual friend that we thought, turns out he doesn't know you either. And I was like, how did you get so much of this wrong? And he was like, oh, I'm hard of hearing.
Oh, like, that is, yeah.
And I was like, oh, and I didn't know that about him. And I was like, what? No, you're not. And he was like, yeah, you know that I lip read you. And I was like, what? And he was like, I've told you that. And I was like, no, you haven't.
Oh, no, I've heard that before.
And that made me then question, do I just not listen? Maybe this girl was real and Dave's just being nice. And it turns out that he lip read Danny as Paddy. But the description she gave was of a guy exactly like me who was in comedy called Danny, who apparently I know. And now I'm trying to figure out who the fuck that is. And it really fucked me over for a week. But I started to make up in my own head so that I appeared less awful.
You were like, oh, well, of course. Okay, well, if it was her, then we probably met here.
Yeah.
And I probably said this. And maybe this is why I didn't call her back.
Exactly. And I found girls that maybe things didn't work out with. And I was like, I think you might be thinking of this girl who I won't name. Or I think you might be thinking of this girl who I also won't name. Because like, and I was just like, where things went wrong. Because it must be those people. Because, like, I'm not
but
forgetful,
it's so
fun, but
no, but it's so funny. And for that story, because there's quite a lot of places removed from Dave, from that incident happening and to Dave telling that story to you.
Yeah.
So the instances between you and that story are so many. There are so many opportunities for extra details, slips in human brains. Because our brains aren't perfect. And our memories aren't perfect.
Yeah.
And you gave me recently loads of Daniel Kitson shows to listen to.
Yeah.
I think I may even mention them earlier on this show, actually. And I've been loving them. He's wonderful.
Yeah.
And he's a storyteller as well.
He's a proper raconteur.
A wonderful grip on not just language, but on, you know, he draws you through a sentence.
Structure
really
as well.
Beautiful.
He knows how to structure a show to within an inch of perfection.
And I was listening to one of his shows, and I'm going to struggle to remember. I think it's After the End, Before the Beginning.
After the Beginning, Before the End, or something
whichever one it is.
Yeah.
And it's... oh, I'm sorry, I'm struggling to remember the exact specifics. But he talks about in that, it's him remembering... Oh, yes, no, it's his friend tells him that he said something really horrible to a girl. He's like, yeah, no, you went out with my friend once and you invited her over to a hotel.
It's you invited this woman to your hotel room, and when she arrived, you were sat in a chair and you didn't remember her name.
And you said to her, and then the woman comes in and he turns around and says, not for me.
Yeah.
And then the girl leaves... And his friend recounts the story to him and says, you really upset my friend. I can't believe that you do that. You're such a horrible human being. And the beginning of the show is him going, I would never do that. It's so out of my
character. I would remember that. Yeah.
I remember. And he goes through, and you should listen to the show, and this is a tiny spoiler because it's the kind of the end of the show, he ends up saying, and it turned out that me and my friend, what actually happened was this friend who told me that I was awful, I remember that we'd been playing a game for a whole day, which is he was offered some food by her, and he thought it'd be funny to say, not for me, like lentils, not for me. And then they did the whole bit about when would be the worst time to say that to someone.
Yeah.
And the situation they landed on as being the most terrible was a girl coming to your hotel room, you turning around saying, not for me, and then having to leave and closing the door, and he goes from there and talks about memory and what we do with it.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I'm rambling a bit here, but it really made me think, and I just sparked a load off because he was talking about how there are a couple of working models, right? And I think the one that everyone thinks of is memory works like you've got a little hard drive up in your brain.
Yeah.
And when you access a memory, when something sparks it off, you go and you delve through your little archive, you pick out the right bit, and you press play, and it might be a bit foggy, it might be a bit scratched from earlier, but you kind of reaccess it. And then every time you reaccess it, it makes it a bit clearer because, you know, you're blowing the dust off, you're making those neurons connect again,
and the right things
come through clearly, and then maybe you're making a new connection, you know, whatever.
Like a shortcut.
And memory works like that.
But is that true?
Well, I mean, who knows? I mean, no one knows. That's the thing. These are all working models for how it works. But then the other thing, and the other model that he touches on, and I listened to a really good podcast by this guy called Radiolab. If you haven't listened to them, they're wonderful. Yeah, they're like these two journalists in America who do really exploratory, you know, like
fart jokes.
Yeah, fart jokes. No, it's a bit like John Ronson. Like, they'll take a theme and topic and like really delve into it, and they have really cool audio design.
Right.
The two guys, it starts with these two guys being like, we're talking about this.
Great.
Oh, yes, actually, it reminds me of 1 week, and then it cuts straight into an interview. It's just like, this is something. She's from here. Blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
And that's why peacocks are called peacocks. And you get a star. It's wonderful. And they mention this other one, which I sympathize with this model of memory, which is that actually, memory is kind of whenever you remember something, you know, there's this connection, these neurons, whatever, the fire at the same time, and you go, that's the thing that happened.
Yeah.
These sights and smells and sounds, they link up. But when you do that, every time you remember it, what you're actually doing is making a new entry and going like, oh, here's the memory now. Let's update it for 2017.
Okay, get it like a smartphone.
Yeah, and then maybe there's... You make some new connections, or someone tells you something that you then go, yeah, no, of course, that happened, and you put that in. And so that every time you access a memory, you're not actually hoarding up something from the archive, you're recreating it.
And then putting it back in that
formation.
And putting
it back time. Putting it in back in that time. And actually, this whichever scientist it is argues that every time you do that, you're corrupting the memory because you're adding to it, or you're extending it, or you're aligning bits of it, or you're making it more convenient. And that actually the purest memories you have are the ones you never touch. And in this Radiolab episode, they go on. I'm sorry, this is a bit dry, right?
No,
I found this fascinating.
I'm into it.
And they in that Radiolab episode, they go and talk to. Ah, they're going to talk to someone who had some amazingly evocative memory. I think, I'm going to get this wrong, I think they listened to a bit of music and they remembered a member of the family, like a brother, who they hadn't seen for like 30 years. And they suddenly went, I have a brother who I didn't remember. And they listened to one thing and it turned out they existed and they were real, and that this memory was one they shared of listening to this bit of music together.
Shit.
And because she just, for whatever reason, I can't remember if it was trauma or whatever, never remembered it, when she heard that bit of music, it was like searingly clear. It was like suddenly she was back, she could see his face and knew everything about him. And I think, do you get that sometimes? When one time, like, it's usually music for me, but like a taste or a smell or a sight, you suddenly are like wrenched back somewhere and it's crystal clear. And you go, I haven't thought about that for a decade.
Yeah.
What the hell?
I get that all the fucking time. Like, it's super awesome when you like totally remember something that, and it's like when someone's like, oh, I haven't thought about that in 20 years, that sort of thing. I've got
thought about that band for 20 years or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, most of them, and maybe this is like almost a defense mechanism, most of them are sad memories. Like that, I don't know whether there's any truth to you like kind of burying things so that you don't think about
but
it.
But you make a choice. Like you make you almost make a conscious choice not to remember something or to not revisit it often. Or when it comes up in your brain, you go, yeah, no, don't think about that. That's the really shit night.
Yeah,
you know, or whatever.
It's like
that's when she left me.
Oh, man, yeah, I've got these. Most of them are to do with my mum. Mm. I've got these really vivid memories. They're amazing, actually. I remember my sister lent me a load of CDs, and this was I don't know, like 10 years ago or something like that. And it was just a bunch of them, and I sort of flipped through them and listened to these things so that I could give her my opinion on them. And I came back to her, and she was like, "Was there anything that you particularly loved?" And I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "I really like Don't Dream It's Over." Remember that song? Hey now, don't dream it's over. Amazing song. And I really like Queen of the Slipstream by Van Morrison. And Em basically burst into tears. And I was like, what are you doing? She was like, do you not remember? Like, those were Mum's two favourite songs.
There you go.
And I was like, whoa, I'd never heard them before. And she was like, you did when you were a baby. And I was like, oh, shit.
There you
so,
go.
All this. And like,
yeah.
And it's often like things like that. Like, and also, I definitely have altered quite a lot of memories about my mum for the purposes of retelling the stories. But not in the way that you think. Not in the way of being like, hey, that was something that happened that was very sad. I'm going to tell it in a dramatic way that elicits a response. The way that I alter them are to make them appear less dramatic,
so that
they sound more believable.
I see what you mean. So it's not like a melodrama or anything.
Exactly.
So it's a song you can be like, oh, my mum, you know, I don't know, she felt poorly or did this thing and it was lovely and it's a beautiful but not flashy moment. Whereas, no, I've done exactly the same.
It's
when someone's
crazy.
Been injured or been ill. I remember really clearly. Sorry, I didn't want to cut you off.
No, that's fine. If you've got something linked to
this. Well, I remember when I was about. I'm trying to get my. I must have been 13 or 14. No, probably younger. Maybe more like 12. I can't remember. And we went on holiday to France with a load of people we always go on holiday to. We stayed in this crumbling old chateau in the middle of the Bourgogne countryside.
Wow,
beautiful.
Okay.
And there was a heat wave and there was a drought at the time.
Yeah.
And we had a swimming pool and these, you know, crumbling old buildings with vines all over. It was beautiful.
Wow.
Had this lovely holiday and I can remember the room and stuff really clearly. And I was trying to think, I was like, why do I remember everything so clearly? And I remember that about 4 days in, my little brother, who's 10 years younger than me, he must have been 2, so I must have been 12.
Yeah.
He was just barely walking, kind of pottering around, and we had our place was in a barn conversion upper floor, and then there was a set of concrete steps that came down with a railing, an iron railing that came down the side.
Yeah.
And you know, as iron railings do, there were gaps between the things, between the struts. And my little brother one morning walked out at the front of our room and was like kind of peeking through these slats.
And
a load of us in the pool, we're like, oh, Rose, how are you doing? And then he just stepped through. And it's, you know, a floor drop. And my mum, amazingly, like, leapt from the room and caught him by his armpits just.
Oh,
and then one of
our
friends came and got him down because he would have just, like, broken his legs.
That is crazy.
Horrendously. And it made me rouse. Like, that's why I remember that so clearly, because I must have done, like, I must have just, like, sucked it all in.
Yeah.
Because it was such a... And people talk about time slowing down when something dramatic happens. Again, they talk about this in the Radiolab thing. And how that's an illusion afterwards.
Yeah.
Because what you actually do is when something dramatic happens, your brain goes into fucking overload and takes all the information it can in.
Yeah.
So that when you recall it, it feels like you were moving. People talk about car crashes and stuff. They feel like they were moving in slow motion.
I remember every car crash I've been in. So...
How many car crashes have you been in?
4.
Fucking hell.
And I've never been driving. I want to make that very clear.
I've never been in one.
Man, oh,
I mean, I've
fucking
had a prang with you, but that was... ran
that
away.
Oh, yeah, hilarious.
We won't tell you where it happened.
No, exactly. But no, that's so interesting, though, because you're right. Like, it's not the dramatisation of those moments... That it's what you've taken in from them, and like that's why they are so dramatic. Everything about my mum's death was mega dramatic and mega sad, and stuff about breaking my arm, so dramatic. And they are awesome stories, but whenever I tell people about them, I try and make them sound more believable, which makes them less interesting.
I know the other part of it is though. Sorry,
no, that, like it's like a really good example is when talking about like my arm,
yeah.
like, you're right, it's that time slip. I remember that so vividly. And I do tell the story a lot, but I try and tell it really condensed. Whereas if I tell the whole story, it's mega, but people are going to go, that didn't fucking happen.
But, well, the other part of that is, though, that you've got a privileged view into what happened there. Like, you know, whether you're taking in more of the information at once, right?
Mm.
But it's very, it's a very hard thing to recount that sometimes, to give it that vivid detail without sounding like you're overemphasizing it for effect, or you're, you know, whatever, you're, and people might be like, you can't possibly remember that, or it's really funny. And the fact is that the memories that stick with you are the dramatic or the funny or the interesting ones.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you can argue that you remember really prosaic stuff, but there'll be a nice reason you remember it. You know, you remember, I remember, not to get too sad, but you know, like previous relationships when I was very happy, you remember, you remember something very minor that's beautiful.
Oh,
you know,
shit,
you remember, you remember, there's the, books and poems and everything and like written about this.
Sentences that you said that you regret, or sentences that you were like, fuck, that
because,
was...
and then you, but exactly that, and then you'll be like, oh, there's this thing I said to you, which must have meant that the relationship ended, or, you know, was the beginning of the end. I knew as soon as I told you to fuck off, or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
And actually, you know, probably, it wasn't that. Or probably... they didn't even react that badly to it, or it was just an argument you had one night, but it becomes the fucking death knell.
Fucking latch, or
whatever. Man, I think it's fascinating. I need to read. I'm reading a lot about brains and memory and stuff for what we're writing at the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's just say there may be some
brains and memory in it.
And I've actually got to tell you about something I thought of in during this conversation.
Oh, right.
We'll remember. But it's amazing how, you know. Oh, I can't remember who said it. There's some amazing person who said the human brain is such a ridiculous thing because it's one of the only things, one of the only like living things in the world that has the power to almost understand itself or something.
Yeah.
But it's almost. You never know what's going on in here.
Such a lovely sentence.
I've got to get it right. I'm sure someone, let us know if I got that right.
I find one that's really interesting is like a really typical question about memory is, what's your earliest memory?
Mm-hmm.
What's your earliest memory? And as a result, this is fucking interesting actually. As a result, I definitely have what I think is an earliest memory. It's a memory I've had my whole life. It's when I'm probably 1.5 years old, and I can remember the route I took through the sort of living room little kitchen thing.
You told me about this. Yeah.
And I remember coming out of a door and then slipping on a rock and hitting my head on a flower pot.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing sideways my dad running towards me, and I remember me crying. And then it cuts, right? And the word cuts is really important there, because I definitely remember that happening. But as I've been asked the question, what's your earliest memory, so many times, I replay that and I replay that. There's very little you can change about that story. But now when I envisage it, it's not shot from my own eyes. It's as if a POV camera is doing it. And then it's really interesting. And then when I fall and hit my head in a flower pot, you know those moments in films when, like, in Blair Witch Project, where they drop a camera and then you see the legs coming across and you see the blades of grass in front of the lens.
Mm.
I remember it as that, as if I was holding a camera and then the camera fell.
Yeah, and doesn't that say so much? Because it's your childhood home, right? So you know that place inside and out. So how easy is it for your brain to, when you recall that, be like, you know, I'm not trying to say you don't remember where you're going, but your brain can go, yeah, well, you would have run through the kitchen. That, you know, the thing you know so fucking innately and well.
Yeah.
Because you've lived there for 18 years or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it's just so weird to try and separate it. And then when you remember the whole thing like that, you're like, well, actually, it's not.
Yeah.
It can't be the first person view I had then, but it clearly is influenced a lot by my direct view of it and my direct experience of it.
Yeah.
And yet the camera view of it is up here.
Exactly. Like, it's so weird.
I remember breaking up with someone. Was like, you know, and obviously in my head it's been dramatised and like swooned since. And,
yeah.
But, you know, it now takes place if there's a fucking camera sat on a table 20 yards from us and it just watched the whole thing. And I remember, you know, how they moved away and, you know, what we said to each other, all that kind of thing. And, you know, and in my head there's almost a soundtrack to go with it. There's almost a song that I'm like, that would have been really good there.
Of course. Shit, my sister... Now, this is very sad, but sorry, a super interesting memory as well. My sister told me a memory, once again sad. The day of my mum's funeral. I remember her funeral quite well. I remember the gags that were told in it. I remember people joking. I remember the church, and I remember I was on the front row, and I was with my friend Tom.
Yeah.
And I didn't really understand what was going on. Obviously, I remember the coffin. I remember all of that stuff. And then I was talking to my sister about it, and I was like, I wish I remember more of that day, like blah, 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 blah. And she was like, well, do you remember the mile walk we took? And I'm like, I have no idea. And apparently the church was fucking rammed, And that is a very lovely thing to remember. But I don't remember that. Apparently there were like 250 people in this church. He'd come to my mum's funeral. And then we walked back to the wake, which was near my dad's house. Mm. And it's about a mile walk. And I said, and I suddenly got this memory. And I remember the walk because I did it 100 million times. Mm. And I remember I was holding my sister's hand. And I said, oh yeah, I remember that. Of course, we walked back just us. It was really peaceful. And she was like, no. She was like, you and I held hands at the front and there were 248 people behind us in like a crowd. And we walked through all of the streets to the wake, but you and I had to go in front. Hmm. And I was like, no, there weren't any people there. And she was like, that's because you never looked back, mate. Uh-huh. Which is beautiful.
Yeah.
And now I can't remember looking behind me at all. But I can imagine a camera panning back from the back of my head and showing all these people. And I can pick out faces.
Because you've been given that kind of collective memory of all, and you're like, well, of course those people would have been there.
Yeah.
And your sister told you this, and your dad's probably told you, and your brother's probably told you bits of it, and then they all fucking thread together.
And they all thread together.
To the point when you're like, I think I can imagine who was behind me. Or not even imagine, I think I can remember.
Can remember it.
Man, it's really weird. It makes you realise what a slave you are to the little bits of, you know, electricity firing around your brain, which, you know, fallible as anything.
Absolutely crazy.
But it's
mate.
Lovely. It's oh, lovely.
It is absolutely lovely. I hope I never forget you.
No. Hey, I might. Nah, don't you forget about me. Get my boobies and things.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah, that's good. I won't forget you.
All right, I won't forget you.
It's nice that we met 2 weeks ago today.
Oh, you're the one with the face. Yeah.
It's me, Craig.
Oh, Craig.
Craig.
So glad you're here, Craig.
Craig. Don't you remember all of our best times?
Oh, I wish I didn't.
Oh.
Unfortunately, I remember them all in excruciating detail, Craig.
Oh, we got another great 2 years ahead of us, Craig, too.
Not until I kill you.
Your name is Quack, what? I'm Quack.
I'm a liability. I can't be near glass or flames. Liability. Don't let me hold your gun or children.
He's a liability.
I once killed a man and went to jail for ages. I'm a liability. I still see him in my nightmares, but iTunes doesn't mind.
No, they don't.
And Acast doesn't mind.
I really hope they don't.
And Laurie doesn't mind.
Yeah, I'd mind if you actually.
And our listeners don't mind.
Yeah, should have kept that to yourself, shouldn't you?
Like my bum.
Oh, it's funny, we just did a whole bit about memory, isn't it, Pads? Because we forgot to do the ending for a couple of days, didn't we?
Yes, just...
So it's almost a week later.
Yeah, it turns out...
Oh!
I was editing the podcast and noticed that we left out the key bit at the end where we say bye.
Well, we made it, man. We got here, we listened to it. It's not like we put it out and it was just like 30 extra seconds footage of us trumping a lot.
Oh, no, that'd be fun.
That would be fun.
Would it?
I think people wouldn't like to listen to it, although... Like, surely listening to it would be preferable to being in the room next to it.
Well, would it?
What, are you saying that farts are a multi-sensory experience and need to be, like, appreciated?
No, I'm just saying that listening to it is always going to be unpleasant, but the knowledge that someone is doing it in the same house as you is kind of, like, accepted.
Oh, yeah, but I don't like to think about
it. I mean, it's niche, what I'm saying. It's a niche.
Yeah, that is niche. I think it's definitely preferable to not be in the same room as a fart. I think that's a given.
Okay, that's probably fair.
Also, it's not like weird people they know who live in a house with them. We're two smelly strangers who've come around. I'm saying if we went and farted in our listeners' houses...
What the fuck are we talking about, by the way?
Mate, it's the end of the podcast. All right, I'll tell you, I've got something to talk about.
Have you got, you got a zinger for me.
So now we were listening to... I was talking about Kitson, right?
Appreciating
him. I'm listening to a lot of him on my MP3 player at the moment, right?
Yeah.
I've got a special waterproof MP3 player.
Oh, for the bar?
Use in the swimming pool, really.
Oh, okay.
Or like, it's like a sports one, but I really like swimming and I'm trying to get back into it. And it sticks. It's got these massive ear things right in your ear hole. And then right in your ear holes! and it sticks them there.
Do you mean headphones?
Yeah, but they're like, they go right in your ears.
Oh, what? Like little...
And there's an MP3 player attached to the back of it. Yeah. like light gremlins. Well,
sorry, motorbike
much,
outside.
Much the same as gremlins, yeah.
Little gremlins. Okay, so you got these ear gremlins.
Why am I talking about them? Well, because, right, I realised one of them kept, right, this is very boring, I'm very sorry.
No, I'm on board.
One of them, right, when you're swimming along, one of them always comes loose, and then the ear fills with water, and then I can't hear shit, because they're designed so that they make a seal around my ear hole. Yeah, like, little two little seals,
yeah, exactly,
just in there, keeping me updated on Kitson. No, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's like when you put a... It's like, because it's in the swimming pool, if it gets the water...
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, you want it sealed.
So, it keeps falling out, and I keep having to stop it. Oh, God, put my ear thing. Like, all the other swimmers are looking at me like, who the fuck are you?
Who's the guy with the waterproof MP?
Exactly. It's not as if I'm not drawing enough attention to myself already.
Have you got a big swim hat as well?
Well, you know, when I say the waterproof MP players, it's like a massive pair of pink headphones.
Yeah, exactly.
Gaffer tapes to the
side
of my head.
Exactly, and you've got, like, a little stereo on your back.
Yeah, and rollerblades, even when I'm swimming.
Yeah.
And then I've got another pair of headphones, right? And I use it on the tube, the little in-ears, and the left ear, instead, always comes out and, like, wobbles out, or it doesn't fit properly.
So that's the opposite ear?
Yeah, the other ear.
Okay.
I've got weird-shaped ears, what I'm saying, and they're not the same size, and yet, headphone manufacturers are acting as if, you know, everyone's ears are the same size. I don't gotta say it's not good.
I was about to defend them, just to play devil's advocate, but actually... I think I have the same... I'm confident I have slightly
I'm
different
sure
sizes.
I'm nobody
you've
has
met,
the same
You've
size
met my father
ears.
As well. Like, yeah. He has one ear that is significantly...
Yeah, but that's outwardly. I'm talking about the inward. I mean, yeah, sure. It's a problem.
You're talking...
I don't think there are many problems that are caused by people having outwardly different sized ears.
Yeah, I know. But even then, with outwardly different sized ears, on stage, I wear a little, like, wireless headset, like a Britney mic, and it's fine on my right ear. Like, it stays on. And on my left ear, it slips off. And so I have to, like, tape it to my ear.
That's also... Yeah.
But then when you get sweaty, the tape foot... By the end of the show, you just look like a fucking idiot.
I mean, you do anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And it's rubbed all the bit away from the top. What's that bit in between your ear and your head?
Your skull.
Yeah. No, this guy. Your little cleft here.
Oh, the little cartilage thing.
Yeah, the little cartilage guy.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter.
So I've got a little permanent little cut on that when I'm on tour because, oh my God, isn't it a sad, sad story?
All right, I was going to go further, right?
Right.
Shoes. Right, how often are people's feet different size? I don't mind.
I've got different size feet.
You put your hand up as if you're in a classroom.
Yeah,
that's me too, miss. Yes,
yeah, no, I do. What, have you got one like significantly bigger
than half a size.
Isn't it fucking annoying?
It is quite annoying, and it's annoying my DMs, which are so like snug and fit.
Yeah.
And one of them just rattles a bit around my shit foot.
Well, that's, yeah, I have the same. I have one size, and same with Doc Martens as well.
Yeah.
And
what about hands?
Because of my fun limp as well, it wears down a different part of the shoe.
It's like you walk around in circles if we leave you unguided.
Yeah, exactly.
He was like,
I'll be back again. Like, yeah, like, are you saying you reckon you should be able to order different sizes or like, but you can't, can
no you?
you can't
and there's no provision for, like, I bet if you went and got, you know, you can get like ear fitted earphones and obviously they'll be good, and I guess
if
you're
must
really
be like hundreds of
but
pounds.
Shoes, right, not only are they different sizes, how often do you lose a shoe? Answer: surprisingly often. Right, have you ever lost a shoe? Am I on my
own? No, I've lost at least two or three shoes.
I've lost at least Yeah, but okay, do you mean pairs of or individual shoes?
Oh, no, individual shoes.
Okay. I thought it was the only time I remember losing a shoe, I went to a gig and I was performing at a gig and I took some nice shoes to wear on stage at the gig.
Okay, cool.
And then I was late for my train and I was running away and I put on my trainers and I put my nice shoes like in the pockets on the side of a rucksack.
Yeah.
And I legged it for the train and got there and saw that one... Pockets on fucking backpacks as well. They're different sizes.
They're different sizes, apparently.
But that one fell out.
But
on
if
the
they,
way.
But if they were the same size,
but then I'd have different size shoes.
You'd have different size shoes. It would still be a problem.
So maybe I just have to. Maybe I just need to choose. Oh god, that's very complicated.
Maybe you should be able to get different designs size. Of shoes on each feet as well.
That would be strange.
So you could have like
that would
like
be very
you could have like a big L on your left one and a big
the shape
R on your right.
Of an L on her forehead.
Oh man. Yeah. But that's the thing, like, legs in general... I definitely have slightly different sized legs.
Legs in general.
Legs in general.
Just get legs issue.
Jeans. Like, you know, I think I've got one leg that's slightly longer than the other, but I can't get my jeans done, can I?
No, I think you're clutching at straws there, mate. I had a very sensible premise to this, and now you're saying your legs are... Like, what? By your legs are going to be shorter by, like, the difference of maybe half a centimetre.
Glasses, though. You can get varifocals, can't
you?
That's like, oh, your left eye's not as good. And they're fine with being like, so we'll split the difference.
What
and
the
we'll...
fuck?
Yeah.
When are they going to stop being eye racists?
Yeah, exactly.
Eye racists?
Like, what about, what, like... I don't know. I don't know. I'm trying to think of other things that I wish came in different pairs. But like, also,
what about pants with different bollock clefts?
Well, or that's the
if
thing.
You've got one.
Everyone's got a different
other.
Size bollock, right?
I don't. I've never.
Or
really...
a lower one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that like a thing?
That's
like,
the thing.
That's
I've never
thing,
really
right?
sized up my bollocks and been like, "Oh, this one's about 30 centimeters."
No, but you can tell that one of your balls is lower.
Lower. Yes, yeah, sizes wise.
Yeah, but that still, in theory, makes what like you're not symmetrical wang wise. You're like so. I don't know. But then again, when
like
do you have something?
I'm like a division size.
You don't have something fitted to your wangus though.
I
like
mean, speak for yourself.
Like and also like anything you'd wear in your cock wouldn't cover your balls. So I
well,
guess
that's until today. I'm happy to reveal the latest bit of Pod Shambles merchandise. Paddy is a special. Cock and balls warmer.
Waterproof MP3 player cock and balls
and
warmer.
For the ladies, muff pouch. I'm sorry, there's neither of those things. That's terrible.
No, but that's the thing. Like, what about knees?
Okay, I think we've exhausted this now. I think we've turned up. We've been like, what can we talk about?
I've definitely worked out. Maybe not knees.
Yeah.
All right, knees, although I do have a slightly weird knee.
Again, stop. Just all you're doing is going through the weird bits of your body and be like, well, I mean, I've got one weird one of those.
You've got a weird guy like, there.
You've got a weird everything.
But like, one of my shins sticks out.
Oh,
more.
Shut up.
One of my shins sticks
oh,
out.
What
more,
a load of
and
shit.
It's quite sharp.
Bollocks.
Like, and when I cat no shins.
You've got one of your shins is sharper.
One of my shins
than the
sticks
other.
Out more. Also, you know your body, right? Your torso. No, don't bear with me. Just briefly.
One of your torsos is bigger than the other.
No, but I've always wondered, right? You know, like all your internal organs,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
They're not symmetrical.
No.
So because you got your stomach like there, and he's slightly more to one side, and you got this guy here, and your little pancreas guy, he's having a bit of fun.
This is
your
the,
body.
What an immaculate your sense of anatomy you have there, Paddy. Paddy just. Pointed to his bum and went, my pancreas.
and like your heart slightly to the left or whatever. Like, these are all in different shapes
yes,
inside you.
Yes.
So your body, right, that's not symmetrical, is it? But it looks like it might be.
It's mostly symmetrical.
But yeah, but why is that? Why isn't this bit all big?
Because we're not perfect.
No, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. But why are we?
I don't know.
Are we perfect?
Paddy.
Surely you've this got, bit that, should you, stick out more.
You're
when
asking
you're full.
Such a weird question to
why
answer.
Why do we expand at the same rate, like on all sides?
I don't. How am I meant to answer that question?
Why don't people get like a fat arm?
They do. Some people do.
Yeah, but like no, yeah, but they get both arms, right?
Oh, mate, don't you're so indignant about this, and there's
yeah.
no like.
How
answer.
Come your buttocks are normally perfectly the same size?
No, yours aren't. I've got one massively droopy one and one very
2 foot
one.
Lower than the other. Hello, it's got a mouth.
I think I'd like to wrap the podcast up now, please, Paddy.
Okay, fine, but
I've had enough of this conversation.
You and
started.
I can continue arguing about this off camera.
Okay, we'll deliver our findings.
Do we need to say anything?
Oh, thanks to everyone who sent us some stuff in. We had Alison Rumfrey, and did Louis Hughes send us something?
Yeah, he sent us his VR. VR.
Yes, yeah, look, yeah, really amazing.
He's
go
making a
it.
Virtual reality game
yeah.
that looks super cool.
It's,
and yeah.
It's called, I can't remember exactly what it's called, but it's about learning how to build, make your own meth.
Yeah, it's like
it's
a,
very
like,
educational.
It's like a meth
kids.
Lab game. And
but it's all quite scientifically sound. I watched a very good video of a trailer, and he's kind of sketched out how it's going to work. It was amazing. We can't wait to play it.
Yeah.
And we demanded first dibs.
And what did Alison Rumfrey say?
She sent us the article about Battle Goose.
Oh, yeah, sweet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah,
yeah, which we got super into, so yeah. We're absolutely fine.
That's why I'm saying thanks.
Oh, well, again. Thanks. I guess, thanks. If you want to tweet us as well
Ooh.
And be just like Millicent Bumregard and Peter Shearweather, you can get us on at Podshambles and podshambles@gmail.com.
Oh, God. Your diction's gone, man.
Reddit.com/r/thisisashambles. YouTube.com/ this is a shambles.
Slash Podshambles, actually.
Yeah. And slash Podshambles. You can.
And then go to
www.google.co.uk, type in Laurie Havelock, Paddy Jervis, and you'll get all resources relating to us.
Including some special unseen sexy pictures.
And some pretty damning hidden
also,
reviews.
If you'd like to hear more about Podshambles, why not go outside your house, paint a big sign that says, please stop here, Podshambles, and then strip naked and say the word Podshambles 56 times, and maybe, if you're lucky, we'll show up.
Yeah, exactly. And remember, everyone get, what do we always say? Everyone gets a eggs. Second chance. Oh. And that's if the 56 thing doesn't work. Go to a bar alone at night and order at the bar.
Wear something low cut.
Low cut and cry at the bar. Just keep crying at the bar.
And then just say, there's no place like Pod Shambles.
There's no place like Shambles. And kick the barman three times. And I promise you we'll be there every day. Pod Shambles. Always there for everyone.
But make sure, seriously, make sure it's low cut, right? Because yeah, it's super low cut.
It's, you know, it's good that we remembered to do this, but also because of the urgency, I feel like neither of us were that prepared for this.
It was beautiful, man. I think it's been a humdinger of an episode. But next one's 50.
The next one's episode 50.
Hey, oh. Maybe there'll be a couple of special treats.
There'll be some surprises.
That voice better not come back again.
Oh my god!
You've got him in every episode.
Back.
You absolute.
I like also that we talked about shoes at the end here, because I don't know if you remember episode one, Laurie, but that was the first segment of the first episode ever. How would you make shoes more better. For you?
And I would make shoes more for me, but maybe I even said this in episode one, probably being able to buy 10 yeah. sizes.
Get ready for another 50 episodes of Pod Shambles. It'll be remarkably similar.
Yeah. Hold on to your butts.
It's going to get toasty. It's going to get toasty. Right, guys, have fun at the park and we'll see you afterwards.
Oh, I'll make sure you bring a kite.
Bring a kite. Or else I'll shit in your mouth. I'm sorry. The look on your face.
Here's a sound check.
Yeah.
Oh, don't you? As soon as you turn to me, that look. Yeah. It's like you turn at a right angle.
Yeah.
And your grin goes first.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
The rest of your face turns up. And I'm like, no, I'm bracing myself for a fucking clown fiesta.
People
of a
say,
from Paddy.
I'm a man led by my smile. That's what they all say. All the reviewers. Guardian.
Two stars. Man led by a smile, even though he's doing a tragic
clown smile.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always got a smile ready to go for you.
You've got
a single hair coming out of your mustache at a fun angle.
Oh, thanks, mate. Way to make me feel self-conscious.
Oh, no, it's lovely, what I'm saying.
Is it lovely?
You look like Biggles.
No, I look terrible. Fuck you!
That's the peak. That's the peak.
There's the Tim Peak!
Biggles wasn't real, was he?
I don't think so, no.
No?
No.
Was he a pilot?
No, I don't think so. Oh, he was.
He was
in
a pilot.
In fiction.
Was he based on someone?
I don't know.
Red Baron?
You can't just say Red Baron. But he was real. Red Baron was a German pilot.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was Lupo Rosso? The Red Wolf?
Yeah, that's a film by Princess Mononoke.
No, that's Porco Rosso.
Oh, okay.
I think it was based on an Italian pilot.
Oh. Well, don't come to me asking me questions when you apparently know the answers.
Well, yeah, I don't know. But Biggles... I was talking to someone about Biggles the other day, and I
really don't care, mate.
No, and I was just...
I've all the way to start a story. I was talking to someone about Biggles.
I was talking
Biggles
to someone about
day.
Biggles. Okay, this is...
Oh, mind me while I...
But if I get a little bit quiet...
You know, for a second.
Stop tuning out. You always tune out. Hey, do you want to hear me tune out? Sorry. I was out of tune. Because I was out of tune.
For
what do you think?
Back to the drawing board, mate.
Okay, fine. All right. Sound check done.